Hi everyone, I'm Lindsay Lewis, editor of Building Enclosure. Thanks for listening along with us today. Today, we're joined by Eric Quinn, Chief Executive Officer of the Trusted Construction Management Advisory Company, KMI International. Eric is here today to discuss techniques to address material and labor shortages in the current construction market. Eric, thanks for sitting with us.
Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
So starting off, it's no secret that the industry has been hit hard due to the impact of COVID. So how has KMI approached advising clients and risk mitigation concerning supply constraints and labor shortages?
Yeah, that's a big topic, right? And it's broader than even the specific those specific topics. It really comes down to leadership by the owner. There was a study done several years ago, and it said that the number one reason that projects fail is lack of leadership by the owner. And that could be an employee, that could be an individual person, or it can even be an owner's representative. And the ability to collaborate and build trust and work together as disparate entities, designers, architects, engineers, constructors, project managers, owners, is essential, because we have so many more challenges than before. Material and resource planning is critical to avoid delays and increase costs. Obviously, we have long lead times, rapid price changes, just creative thinking about the planning is essential. Obviously, inflation has hit our industry, I think, more than others, because we're such a material and energy focused industry that you've got inflation in raw materials, which makes finished goods higher. Everything has to be transported at long distances. So all of this compounds to make the challenge even greater.
So speaking on material shortages, what materials have been affected the most?
That's a moving target. What we found right now is definitely concrete, aggregate, those types of materials. Again, raw materials are going to lead to finished goods. We've had a lot of roofing materials, but then surprisingly, one of the big issues of the past 12 months is actually going down, and that's steel. Mm-hmm. Our latest data shows that since October, steel has dropped 50%.
Oh, wow.
Still not below pre-COVID levels, but getting there. Mm-hmm. So that's very encouraging. That could be partly due to decreased demand. You know, as we see slowing demand, that's going to have an impact on prices, but that's one encouraging sign. The supply chain is so complex, and it's a global supply chain. One element out of balance could have domino effects on others, but that is one area where we are seeing some relief. But overall, we're seeing about 33% material costs increase over last year. And I like to remind everyone, that's not 33% costs over pre-COVID. That's over last year, when we're already in an inflationary environment in building materials.
Wow. Now, what kind of risk assessment approach should architecture and engineering firms be looking to adopt in a post-COVID world?
Collaboration is key. I spoke to an architect up in North Carolina, and they used, they're building an office building, and they used a very aggressive, what's called a design assist program, mm-hmm. where they're collaborating with the general contractor early in the design process. So the general contractor is actually creating the shop drawings while the architect is finalizing the construction documents. And this has been particularly helpful for them for important components like elevators, curtain wall, in particular aluminum, large pieces of MEP equipment. And the goal is to have the sign-off needed so that when the permit is in hand, the key critical items can be immediately ordered. They're saying that this could save the project 6 months of time. Another example is a project that we worked on. It was a hangar where it was a pre-engineered metal building, and we chose a route to use owner direct purchasing, which was not the owner's typical method. And it wasn't to just squeeze the general contractor out, but it was to get in line because we knew the lead time for that metal building was going to be long. And we didn't have time to write the RFP, publish the RFP, get bids from the general contractor, and let the general contractor place the order. By having the owner order the building, we cut a tremendous amount of time and saved the project 27%. So things like that, you know, thinking ahead, having an approach, expecting problems, and looking at every single possible way to mitigate time and cost.
Right. So we spoke on this already, but I'm going to ask you again. Do you feel inflation will severely impact our industry, or is it just another aspect to juggle in conjunction with supply shortages?
I think it will have more of an impact on our industry than others. Mm-hmm. You take things like technology, but their costs are lower and their margins are greater. Margins in construction are very small. And I'm going to repeat it again. Unfortunately, energy costs, everything has to be transported long distances, sometimes overseas on ships, factories, trucks, all of it. So until all of this is worked through, I don't think we're going to see a settling. We'll have peaks and valleys, and we'll have some good news, like I mentioned, on steel. But there's so many complex issues. And because we're very labor and material centric, all those things are in inflationary mode. You know, we talk labor, even drivers. Right. And even I heard stories of drivers of cement trucks. You know, they may do a pour at 4 a.m. You know, would you rather drive for Amazon during the day or concrete pours at 4 a.m? That's a problem. So they're really that you can only imagine how that cascades through the project. So I unfortunately, the bad news is I think it's going to continue to impact our industry more than others.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of the peaks and valleys, what construction areas do you see trending upward and what do you see trending downward?
Yeah, like I mentioned before, about the finished cost of goods is all impacted by the upstream, energy, labor, raw material costs. The concrete block, we see up 13%. I'm sorry, mixed concrete up 13%, concrete block up 21%, and overall building costs in general over 15%. And I think I mentioned before, materials up 33.7%. Again, these are over the past 12 months. But we do have good news on steel.
So given the fluctuation of skilled labor in the AEC industry, which is such a prevalent topic now, I talked about all the time. What's an important factor that firms should think about when trying to retain or hire employees?
Yeah, I could talk about this all day. and on two fronts. One is on, let's just say, the labor force. And this comes down to good leadership. This is very simple. Take care of your people and they will take care of you. If you're a good place to work, if you have trust, if you build trust with your workforce, if you build a strong culture and you pay appropriately, then you're going to have the labor force you need over your competitors. I'll shift from labor force to talent, which is a different topic. Mm-hmm. And particularly in our industry, at the executive level, we have a severe DEI problem.
Right.
Worse than most in construction management. We have 3% Black population participation in construction management, which is better than design. Architects are 1% and commercial real estate brokers are 1%. So we have a big imbalance. And I think long-term that's going to affect the industry because more than half the three quarters of the population are not white males. And these projects are being designed, built, procured by a population different from those that are using it. And there are ways to help that. We're big supporters of HBCUs, historically Black colleges and universities, and there's great talent there. And anybody says they can't find talent, diverse talent, I encourage them to look at the HBCUs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. We've spoken so much on DEI issues and how we can, you know, battle those as an industry. So that's so interesting too.
Well, it's good for us. I mean, mm-hmm. It's obviously the right thing to do, but it's also the smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel, is there a preferred method you feel owners and contractors can implement to get delayed projects back on track?
Yeah, it's communication and collaboration. And so many times projects get off the rails because of lack of communication, goals that aren't shared, siloed work. It goes back to the leadership by the owner. Getting the groups together, understanding the goals, communicating efficiently, and collaborating, working together to solve problems as opposed to throwing RFIs and change orders back and forth, which helps no one. Solve the problems when they occur, be responsive, be decisive, and move on.
So getting projects moving forward, what are the most important factors firms should prioritize on?
To get them back rolling?
Mm-hmm.
I think getting buy-in from all the stakeholders, because a construction project is different than any other kind of a manufacturing or any other kind of project, because you're building a project which is offsite by multiple entities. Again, multiple designers, multiple engineers, contractors, subcontractors, project managers, owners, and investors. And they're coming together for the first time to do something that's never been done before. So collaboration, shared goals, transparency, communication, and the earlier the better. That's and what I like to do is react early, but you know, calmly but early. So small course corrections continuously are so much better than the big swings and the big meetings where everyone's yelling. React early, small course corrections.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, Eric, for your time today.
Well, thank you. It was a real pleasure.
If anyone listening has any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to myself or Eric, and we'd love to continue the conversation. Until next time, visit us on buildingenclosureonline.com for all your technical and educational resources.